is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and, of course, your views tonight, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. You can talk about what I'm talking about. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And we'll see if we can have an interesting dialogue, and we can all benefit from the thoughts that are expressed here. Well, this has been one of the most exciting weeks I can remember. Certainly, it was just a week ago, I think we had an extra day in there somewhere, that we began seeing the credit markets of the world begin to unravel. We saw a situation suddenly where some of the major hedge funds were going down. It wasn't simply the Bear Stearns hedge funds. A couple of those were losing billions and billions of dollars, in Goldman Sachs. A couple of their hedge funds went down, and then there was a large bank over in France that had, I think, three hedge funds, and they had no idea what the value was, because they'd bought these bonds, collateralized debt obligations that were based upon the American mortgages, and of course, nobody knew what they were worth. They bought them as AAA bonds or AA bonds, where they were literally assured of a regular income, and of course, many of these hedge funds are hedged at 5%, 10%, 15%, 20%. A massive leverage in these, and the tremendous profits to be made. In the past, the hedge funds have made 30, 40% a year. Sometimes their other managers of these hedge funds have made $100 million a year based upon the excellent picks that they made. It was hard when they were just pouring money into the economy, that you couldn't, do well no matter what you were investing in. And that's what's happened when the market is going up. And, of course, it's not simply the stock market, but the housing market and all of the other markets that are out there, the commodity markets. Everything goes up, and, well, it's just hard to make a poor investment. But when the market turns and the market begins to drop, and you're leveraged, 5 to 1, 10 to 1, 20 to 1, and the market turns against you within just a day or two, you can be wiped out. And that's what happened to this French bank. At least they had three hedge funds. They had no idea what their collateralized debt obligations were worth. And they told the people in the hedge funds, you can't withdraw your money. And suddenly there gets to be panic. And, of course, when you're dealing with a fiat money system, as this is traditional throughout all banking, it's always been based upon faith and confidence in the system, and suddenly people begin to lose confidence, and people begin to panic, and they demand their money, and they say, sorry. And remember, this is not like a bank deposit supposedly guaranteed by the Federal Deposit Insurance Company. And incidentally, if you have money in a bank backed by the Federal Deposit Insurance Company, let me assure you, the Federal Deposit Insurance Company does not have enough money to compensate all the banks. If we did have run on our banks here in the United States, they would have no alternative but to shut down the banking system. They cannot tell you that, though. All guaranteed by the federal government, but what would the government do? They just simply have to print more money, as they've done over this last few days. The central banks of the world have inserted $500 trillion into the economic system to try to stabilize it, and, well, we just don't know what's going to happen next. Give us a call. I'd like to know what you think. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we certainly are beginning to see the end of folly. And, of course, if we go back and certainly evaluate what's happened in the past. Perhaps we can learn something. You know, it was George Santayana who said that those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And as we look and see what's happened over the last few years, we see Alan Greenspan, who I think is a brilliant individual. But Alan Greenspan has done a number of very unusual things. And certainly after the collapse of the stock market in 1999, 2000, then of course he created a housing bubble. How did he create it? Why, he encouraged lenders to lend money to people who could not afford expensive homes. He encouraged people to take out these special arms, these adjustable rate mortgages. And when you take out these adjustable rate mortgages, why, you can get in, you know, a great house, beautiful home, 2.9% interest. Maybe you don't even have to pay anything on the principal for 3 or 4 years. I mean, you can have the most beautiful home you ever dreamed of, and it's 2.9% interest. That's all you have to pay, and at the end of 5 years, you're going to have to start paying something on the principal, and they will adjust your mortgage, and suddenly your mortgage is 7% or 8%, and of course, there's no way you're going to be able to make the payments on that, and you're going to have to simply have your house foreclosed on. And if somebody is holding a bond that contains your mortgage in it, and the mortgages of say, 1,000 other people who've been foolish enough to buy something they couldn't afford, why, then you get into terrible problems. And Alan Greenspan was encouraging people to take out these adjustable rate mortgages. Why would he do that? It just doesn't make sense. And he was encouraging the brokerage companies, the lenders, to lend money to people on homes they couldn't afford. And people who didn't even have a down payment could buy a home. I know one gentleman who bought a piece of property, and considering what it was appraised for, and it was obviously appraised too high, he bought a piece of property and got a refund of $25,000 for buying a piece of property. And then he turned around and sold it when it went up higher. And of course, he got himself into a defensive position. But most people were buying new homes with the idea that the price was going to continue going up, and then they were going to be able to sell it and make a profit, and suddenly they can't sell. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is Open Line Wednesday, and we're hoping you'll want to give us a call and let us know what you think about what's going on here financially in the world, here in the United States, what's happening to the market. And as you know, the market was 14,000 a couple of weeks ago. Why, it seemed like it was going to keep going up forever, and today it closed down around 12,800, something like that, and seems to be intent upon dropping. Certainly many of the indexes, the stock market indexes, are down. The commodity index is turning down. Many of the speculative stocks have lost 40, 50, 60% of their value in the last several weeks. And we're talking about things like the platinum stocks, which are just going up like a rocket. But, you know, when rockets go up, they eventually turn around and come down. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But the question is raised as to why did Alan Greenspan, when he was chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, make so many serious mistakes? Because he's not a stupid man. I believe he's one of the most brilliant men we've ever had in the position of chairman of the Federal Reserve System, and yet he was encouraging buyers to buy with these adjustable rate mortgages. He was encouraging lenders to lend with adjustable rate mortgages, and he had to realize, of course, that the day of reckoning would come. And then, of course, the thing that, of course, really is explosive as far as the possibility of a complete destruction of our economic system are the hedge funds. You get into a hedge fund, you got to have $1 million or $5 million to get into a lot of these. People with big bucks are getting in there. And, of course, they're then leveraging these hedge funds, and 5%, you know, double 5 times, 10 times, 20 times. And this, if you're going up and you've got this amount of leverage, you can make fantastic profits, 40-50% a year. But when they turn against you, you can, of course, lose that amount simply overnight. And then, of course, what really backs up the hedge fund market and so many of the questionable trades out there are the derivatives. Now, derivatives are simply guarantees that a loan will be repaid. In other words, let's imagine that the hedge fund is certainly borrowing all this money and then it's going to invest it in something else. And if you're the person who's lending to the hedge fund, why, of course, you want to be sure that the hedge fund is going to pay you. After all, you don't want to lend somebody $1 billion and then they're not going to be able to pay it back. That would be a foolish thing to do. So you take out a derivative contract. It might cost you, let's say, on $1 billion, it might cost you maybe $150,000 for $1 billion. I'm just taking that figure off the top of my head. But, of course, it'd sure be worth it because you'd hate to lose $1 billion, wouldn't you? But what most people who are, of course, involved, you know, with taking out the derivatives don't understand is that maybe it's other hedge funds or some bank that has really overextended itself who wrote the derivative. And what happens when the hedge fund can't pay back and the derivative source can't pay back either? And you lose your $1 billion. And, of course, this was the issue that so many people have raised and why people like Warren Buffett referred to derivatives as financial weapons of mass destruction. Currently latent, but potentially lethal. And why other experts in the financial market said that the derivatives, although they seem like a guarantee of stability, are really designed to take the whole financial market down. Now, the question is, you know, when there were calls from Congress to certainly regulate the hedge funds and to regulate the derivative market and try to actually create a stable situation so that they could not collapse if they got into trouble and destroy the value of our currency and destroy the financial markets of this country and the whole world. Why did Alan Greenspan reject calls to do what was logical and correct, and he should have done, and had he, of course, not violently objected to the regulation of the hedge funds and derivatives, we would have some laws and some protection. But Alan Greenspan objected to that and said, oh no, this is just what we need, is not regulating the hedge funds and not regulating the derivatives, and let the market take care of it. Well, you saw what happened in 1929 when you left it all up to the market. And Alan Greenspan, espousing the free market, of course, is doing everything he could to destroy the free market. And then Alan Greenspan lowered the interest rates to 1% and kept them there for a year and a half or more, knowing full well that this was highly inflationary. And then Alan Greenspan has increased the money supply, the M3 money supply, at the rate of about 10% a year for the last 4 years, which is highly inflationary. And now, Chris, as you know, recently they refused to reprint the M3 because they don't want the American people to know how bad inflation is going to be in another year or two. And they keep telling us, oh, well, inflation's only 2%. Nothing to worry about. We've got things under control. Well, then, of course, that is the core inflation. When you get up into the real inflation is 4%. And, of course, the old adage is figures don't lie, but liars figure. And look at the price, of course, what's happened to milk. Look at what's happened to dairy products. Look at what's happening to eggs, and look at what's happening to meat. And so many of these things are going up astronomically, and they're simply lying about what's happening to our prices. And, of course, gasoline, although down temporarily at the present time, I fear there wouldn't. And if we do go to war with the Muslim world, as I think is actually being planned, why, of course, the price of oil will return well up over, $5, $6, $7 a gallon. and just grind our economy to a stop. Now, I bought gas today for about $2.87. I was just so grateful to get $2.87.9 today for my gasoline. But of course, I think it's only a matter of time before it goes up again. But I can remember just a year or so ago, a couple of years ago, when gasoline was a little over $1 a gallon. And what people do not understand is that inflation is out of control in this country and increasingly throughout the world. And if you look and see, remember, the whole world is on a fiat money system. And of course, China is increasing their money, actually putting their money out in circulation. The last figure was almost 18.8% increase in the amount of money every year. Russia is going up at 51%. India is increasing their money at 21%. And all this money is entering into the world system. And the whole world is, of course, moving towards an inflationary spiral. And there's no instance in all history where any fiat money system has ever worked. So why are we going along with this? And there has to be a logical explanation. And if there is no logical explanation, then there has to be another reason that we're not being told. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I'd like to know what you're thinking about what's happening and why, of course, even after injecting $500 billion into the monetary system over this last weekend between Thursday and yesterday, remember that money can be lent out 8 to 10 times, why, of course, the stock market is still dropping and why so many of the major indexes are dropping. And why there's so many uncertainty, and of course in the commercial money market, and that is when you want to go out and you want to borrow money, you know, so you can complete a business deal. You'll pay 10 to 12% interest, you know, but you got to put up collateral so that people are sure they're going to get their money back, and the money is just drying up. Money is unavailable. People are concerned. People are frightened. People know something is seriously wrong. And, of course, this is what panics are made out of. Well, I think it's important that people understand that Alan Greenspan and the people in the Federal Reserve System, I believe, know exactly what they're doing, and I think Mr. Bernanke knows exactly what he's doing, and I believe that they are part of a cabal. And if you doubt that, I think I'd suggest you get hold of Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And if you haven't got it, we quote from it in my little pamphlet called The History of Money, or you can get the book through Radio Liberty. And there, Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, one of the most brilliant historians of the last century, talks about how the central banks work in concert, and they have a plan to bring about a world feudalistic system because they are controlling certainly the economies of the countries of this world. But they want to create a world feudalistic system under their control, and I really believe that this is about to happen. And of course, this goes right along with many of the other unexplainable things that are going on. Why in heaven's name did we attack Afghanistan? It certainly wasn't to catch Osama bin Laden, because we didn't try to catch Osama bin Laden. We let him escape and refused to allow our special forces to pursue him into Pakistan. So if we didn't go there to fight to catch Osama bin Laden, why are we still fighting in Afghanistan? Why don't we just pull out, let the Afghans run their own country, and then why did we invade Iraq? It certainly wasn't because of weapons of mass destruction. And then, of course, when you went into Iraq, why did Paul Bremer do what he did? I mean, it dissolved the army, Iraqi army, the Iraqi police force, the Iraqi civil service. What would happen in New York if tomorrow we were to fire the police, we were to fire the people who took care of the water system, the electricity system, the sewer system, close down all the businesses in New York, and, of course, withdraw the army from... what would happen in New York? You'd have chaos. Of course you'd have chaos. You'd expect chaos. So why should we have thought that anything different would happen in Iraq when we did what we did? Well, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're not getting that many calls. We do. Some of you will want to give us a call because we want to know what you think.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
They do this? Well, upon doing some research, and it was motivated, Bob Chapman said the United States is a corporation. Steve Hyatt said it. Others have said it. Well, as a corporation, they have to abide by certain rules and regulations. Well, turns out the only valid legal tender there is, even though it's fiat as you scholarly present it, is Federal Reserve promissory notes. Okay, that is legal tender. Unfortunately, it's in violation of the federal charter.
Okay.
Be that as it is, everything else is non-legal tender currency. And when someone signs on the dotted line, be it a loan application agreement or that check, they're authorizing the bank to engage in, non-legal tender currency creation, as well as the use of that promissory note document for whatever purposes they want. It so happens that everyone who has ever taken a mortgage or any kind of a loan agreement out, actually they themselves, as the contracting so-called borrowing party, funded the very loan to themselves.
You're absolutely right. They create the money out of nothing, and then they have the audacity to charge this interest on it. It's a scam. But what's your point?
The point is, Dr. Stan, when people are faced with supposedly not being able to pay their debt, they need to... have you ever... Remember George Plimpton?
Yeah.
Do you remember George Plimpton? He has a relative in West Palm Beach by the name of Bob Plimpton.
I know Bob.
Okay, well, Bob was on a KDKA out of Pittsburgh a couple of months ago, all-night, five-hour show, after hours, and they interviewed him for, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes. And he started to get into the crucial essence of the fact that there is no valid debt because this was a fraud.
It may very well be, Jack, but they'll come and take your property.
Well, they'll come and take the property. And
they'll take your property, and then you'll go to a court, and the judge will rule against you in most instances because he's part of a corrupt system. So you may be absolutely right, but in the final analysis, why? I mean, if you want to suggest that everybody just shouldn't pay their debts, why they're going to find an awful lot of people thrown out of their homes. You may very well be right. They create money out of nothing. Many of these debts are invalid, but, and I've known Bob Plimpton probably for 20 years, but of course they take their property away, and you can spend all of your time fighting them, and of course you're going to be homeless at the time. But thanks so much for calling, Jack, and let's go to Jeff calling from Denver. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, how are you doing, Dr.
Doing fine.
Just had a question for you. I call into a lot of different radio talk shows, and there is an offshoot of Sean's show, a guy by the name of Mark, who regularly plays the Navy theme, the Army theme, the Marines theme, and I would get onto this man's show periodically, vilifying illegal aliens. And he would put me to the front of the line. Yet somehow, after I got the information off of your show about a Senate report that Joyce Riley talked about, where they admitted that they were testing experimental vaccines on our own troops, he didn't want to let me through.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really don't know anything at all about it. Maybe he doesn't believe it. Maybe many people find it very hard to believe that they would use experimental vaccines on our troops, or that they would suddenly expose them to a radiation that would destroy the lives of our people. They would, of course, they would use the radiation experiments on the American public. But unfortunately, it's all true. Give plutonium to our kids in orphanages, just to see how much damage it would do. So they give all of our children thimerosal, knowing very well it would destroy the function of their minds and their fertility, and certainly that we would be being poisoned with aspartame, that they would fluoridate our water, knowing full well that lowers intelligence, produces cancer, certainly has a profound impact as far as increasing the on our endocrine system, increases heart disease. A lot of people can't believe that sort of thing, Jeff. So what was the point?
Well, I guess the point is that sometimes circumstantial evidence, such as you just listed off there, is more powerful than a smoking gun. And I guess it's a little bit disheartening that somebody has access.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a
minute. Sure.
Never got to walk.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go right ahead there, Jeff. What was your point?
Yeah, I guess the point is the disturbing thing is that when you call these mainstream talk show hosts, and we all know who they are, if you are vilifying the illegal aliens as if it's all their fault somehow, then they put you right through. But if you were going to bring up something such as like Joyce Riley has brought up, that there is a possibility that there may be a different agenda, then all of a sudden you're the weirdo. You're the enemy. You are the kook out there. So I guess it's a bit disheartening that people like that have access to the American people would go that far. I mean, they got to know at this point, don't they?
No, they really don't. Traitors. I will tell you, Jeff, as difficult as it is for you to imagine, there are a lot of good people out there who just refuse intellectually to believe that our government could do anything evil, that there could be people within our government that would actually conspire against our troops, that want to destroy their lives, that conspire against our children, that want to harm their health. I mean, certainly it's very, very difficult for some people to believe that there is evil in the world. And so they feel better if they say it isn't true. I'm not going to believe this. I know, because for many years, I had a patient, pardon me, when I was involved in the AIDS issue, and certain people kept telling me the reason they're not trying to stop the AIDS epidemic is because of population control, and I just refused to believe it. I had to almost get hit over the head with a 2x4 before I finally came to the conclusion that it was really true. So, I mean, I would not criticize the people, and of course it's their program, and we can't do anything about it. All we can do is try to perhaps ask questions, try to get these people to think. Who knows, some of them may be very good people. You may be able to influence them. It's how you go about doing it, rather than, you know, if you try to tell people too much, sometimes they'll turn off.
Well, you know, that's actually probably the point where I would part ways with you. I would probably pay $500 to watch a debate between you and Laura Ingraham or Sean Hannity.
Well, you don't have to pay. I'd be glad to do it for nothing. Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call. It's Open Line Wednesday. We have Jeff calling from Denver, and Jeff was just offering to pay $500 to see a debate between me and Sean Hannity or some of the other the more liberal or even so-called conservative talk show hosts. And I mentioned that certainly I'd be glad to debate for nothing, and I think he'd give the other side $500, and I don't think that they would want to have a debate because so often they do not want to have the other side viewed, and some of these people are smart enough to realize that if they've really told the truth, they would not be on the air. Let me just give you an example. There was a gentleman up in San Francisco, and I won't use his name, but he was there for many years, and certainly an excellent talk show host, and he used to even invite me up to San Francisco on a regular basis to co-host with him. And one time he had actually told me that, off the air, he said, you know, Stan, because he was doing a commercial, and it actually come up and said, Stan, you know, if I said on this program what I really believed, I would be thrown off the air, but I'm not going to do that. And then, of course, we went right back on the air, and he said, if anybody ever tried to tell me what to say on this program, I would simply, walk out of the studio and quit. And then he looked over at me, and he winked. And well, this is really what it's all about. He survived for many years. He did a great job. He got a lot of great information out, and I'm very indebted to him because although he did compromise his principles, he used his a microphone, and he was on there, I think, for 20, 25 years, to bring a lot of people in the San Francisco Bay Area into the more conservative position. No, my producer saying Jim Dunbar or Ira Bluen, it wasn't either one of those. It was a fellow, actually, who came from North Carolina. His name escapes me, but it'll come back one of these times. As you get older, you don't remember all the names as well as you should. Anyway, did you have anything else you'd like to say, Jeff? And incidentally, for our listeners out there, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is Open Line Wednesday.
That's all, Dr. Stan. I would raise that to $1,000 to watch you debate, take your pick, Ingram, Hannity, any of these people about the fundamental facts surrounding pretty much anything. I mean, the situation on 9/11. The bottom line is, if they're not talking about the New World Order, they are absurd. And then hopefully people are getting that idea.
Well, I appreciate your words of confidence. I don't know how I do it in a debate, but I'd love to have the opportunity. Last time I was really on a major program for any period of time, was on one of these programs in New York. It was the Jane Whitney program. You remember Jane Whitney?
Yes, I do.
Do you really? Well, of course.
Yes, I do. I know the exact situation you're talking about. I know it.
And they just called me. They needed somebody to come on and talk about discrimination against people who had AIDS. Of course, I'm not in favor of discrimination against anybody, but I think there may be a time when maybe you should not have people with AIDS doing anything they want to. I don't think necessarily, as in one of the people who was on the debate, a high school coach, wrestling coach with AIDS, should be wrestling with the boys, you know, because sometimes there'll be scuffling and there'll be blood, and this disease can be transmitted by blood transmission. It's not common, but it can. And, of course, this one high school coach who had lost from about 250 pounds down to about 100 pounds felt he was being discriminated against when they told him he couldn't wrestle with the other, with the boys. He could have another job. They didn't fire him. But anyway, to make a long story short, well, I was asked to be on the Jane Whitney program and whisked back to New York City, and they met there at the airport with one of these stretch white cars, you know, Cadillac, about 100 feet long, and whisked through the streets of New York to a hotel. And we were on the program there with Jane, and she did a wonderful job. And
right.
She told me ahead of time that she really favored what I had to say about
the
AIDS epidemic.
Her career.
But of course she was going to have to be confrontational, because that's what she did. And I thought she did a very good job, but she let me dominate the program. Half the audience was AIDS activists, and we knew, because they were all wearing the little red ribbons. And the other half came off the street, and it was very interesting that the people they just got in off the street supported my position that we should try to stop the epidemic by, of course, using standard effective public health techniques, and that there might be some instances where some people had, you know, jobs where they should not be, allowed to do whatever they wanted to if they endangered somebody else's health or if they offended other people. And I should have dominated the program. And that was one of the last programs she ever did.
Yeah, I know that. What you need is one last push to confront these people in the mainstream media, and that's it. One last push, and there's a lot, right? Because you're preaching to the choir here.
I know I am. Well, I'd rather preach to the choir than not preach at all. Maybe somebody will just be driving down the road someplace in Washington or eastern Washington or upstate New York or Cincinnati or Lexington, Kentucky, and hear this program tonight. And maybe, of course, maybe they'll just be...
You have got more faith than I do. Take care.
God bless. Thanks very much. All right, fine. Well, let's go to Jay. Who's calling from Colville, Washington. Go ahead, Jay.
Yes. To begin the program, I've been listening over a scan of about 8 years, and with a heart of compassion, you say, about reality, it's usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king.
Right.
And in a recent newsletter, you attributed that to Larry McDonald.
Yes, I did.
How did you come to that knowledge?
Well, because I read something that he'd written, and but he basically said that just about. I think I made it rhyme. The way he had said it originally didn't rhyme, but I made it rhyme. But this was one of the statements he used, and he used quite frequently. Reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. And then I think I've been added, but in the struggle for Western civilization, it'll be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And, of course, he used to use a similar statement. And, of course, as you remember, he was on the plane that was shot down, KAL-007, Korean Airlines 007, in September of 1983.
Yes. Many guests and listeners have different views about this, but that phrase harmonizes with about everyone, because we can see there is such a thing as deception and illusion. And in the view of Larry McDonald, which was in the light of Jesus, who was set forth by his resurrection as Lord of all, that's the view that he had, and that's the view that I have, and I believe you have. Reality is, might say, two-part. There's the infinite personal being. He's infinitely personal. And then there's the finite universe. And the infinite personal being is infinitely just and infinitely caring, compassionate for people that he made. He upholds all this, and the finite beings derive their being from him, and so it's a distinction. And the supernatural that's opposed to him is a finite supernatural, whereas he's infinitely personal.
Amen to that. Well, I agree with you, and thanks very much, Jay. I appreciate you sharing that with us. And let's go to Peter, who's calling from Salinas. Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Good evening, Dr. Stan. I wanted to comment on the current economic meltdown that you had predicted well over 2 years ago, mm-hmm. occurring before our very eyes.
It really sort of exciting as we begin to see it, frightening, but it may take something like this to get people's attention.
I believe you're correct on that, Dr. Stan. And here's the cruel irony, if I might. This can all be averted if the wicked, greedy grifters who have stolen from our country are willing to give it back.
But they're not, Peter. They have another objective, and they intend to bring about this one world government with a new world religion led by the new world leader. So, I mean, certainly if they were suddenly to be converted to Christianity, but it's not going to happen. I wish I could encourage you, but anyway, go ahead, make your point.
Well, you've made it for me. Thank you, Dr. Stan, is that no, by their very nature and by their very intentions, they are not going to convert or capitulate or change direction. Therefore, as you've advised us all along, we're basically, it's called the yo-yo principle. Have you heard this?
No, go ahead.
It's called you're on your own.
Okay. All right. Well, but I think it's more than that. I think, first of all, we have to make our plans, you know, as if
yes.
we are on our own. And I think that we have to make our plans financially. I think we have to make our plans, you know, thinking about our family, but I think we have to be prepared spiritually for what lies ahead, because we can, of course, have all sorts of food supplies, which we should have, and water supplies and medical supplies, and we can have a certain amount of money put aside and diversified, but in the final analysis, it's only God who's going to sustain us with what lies ahead. And our greatest protection is not in anything material, but it is in the spiritual realm.
You are absolutely, as usual, Dr. Stan, you're absolutely right. And I'm merely here to point out that you've prepared me well for this time. I expected it as you absolutely Not a single listener to Dr. Stan's program can say, we didn't see this coming. That we didn't know that the people who are in charge right now did not have this in mind. And Dr. Stan, I merely threw it out there for their own redemption, that they merely need to turn on their wicked ways, render those things under Caesar that are Caesar's, and save themselves.
Amen to that.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Thanks very much. Good to hear from you. I was Peter, and let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I just want to talk a little bit about, Mattel recalled those toys that had lead paint on them from China.
Right.
I think it's an outrage. I think they keep doing this stuff, and I think something should be done. I think they should have a moratorium. There must be some way that we can... This is a real serious problem. It's a real serious problem, these goods from China. And I've been thinking about it for a long time. I wrote a letter to the Sentinel about it, and they didn't print it. But I believe that our own companies are responsible for it because they were looking for cheap labor, and they found it over in China. And I think that it's going to get worse as far as this thing is concerned, these goods from China. I think that they're probably doing it deliberately to antagonize us. I don't know.
Well, I think, of course, what the right thing right now is we start telling China that they can't export things to us, and they start cashing in their dollars, they can bring our whole economic system crashing down at the present time. But I would like to suggest that a lot of this is planned, and of course we talked not only about what Greenspan had done, but what the Bush administration has done. And let me tell you what I really think. I really think that everything that's going on is part of a long-range planning. Now, certainly this is all certainly my conjecture, but I believe that the Alan Greenspan and the people he represents are dedicated to a world government. But how can you have a world government when you have sovereign nations and sovereign currencies?
Right.
How will you, Gersh, get to a global currency? Well, you're going to have to destroy the one we have today.
Yeah.
And when you destroy the global currency, you destroy the savings of all the people here. And when you crash a currency, you have chaos. And then out of chaos will come the new global currency.
Yeah.
And with that, I fear that will come the destruction of the savings of so many of the people here, the pensions, the things that people have been looking to from a material point of view to protect them. And we're going to see us moving towards what they have in Mexico, a small number of very wealthy people, a massive police force and military to keep the people in line, and then a lot of poor people. And I think we're moving rapidly towards the third world nation status. Our infrastructure is beginning to crumble within. Our industries are moving offshore. And certainly more and more of our industries are moving. Certainly many of our people here who are well-trained are being replaced by foreigners who work for half the price. And that many people are actually, I was talking to a fellow just yesterday who knew this fellow had been a mortgage broker, and now he's working at Home Depot for $10 an hour. $50 an hour before. I think you're going to see the progressive destruction of the living standards of our people. But you have to destroy the stability of our economy, and that's what this is all about. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, I hope it backfires on them big time, though. I'm getting sick of it. There's no place to go. I've lived here all my life, and I see this stuff happening. It just tears me apart, looking at... I met some people from Germany, from Nuremberg, and the one woman that I met, she, at 48, she can no longer get a job as a chemical engineer because they've outsourced jobs over there, too. We talked about it for a long time, but apparently in Germany, they've outsourced a lot of the jobs, professional jobs over there, too. So it's happening all over the place. And
it's a worldwide movement.
It's a worldwide thing, yeah. Too bad.
Well, the thing is that what we need to do is talk to people. Now, they may not want to hear us at the present time, but as things get worse, they're going to remember what you said, and maybe they'll hear somebody else who's listened to our program or a similar program, And they're going to begin looking for answers, and they'll be able to come to you, and hopefully you'll be able to explain to them what this is about, and perhaps you can relay some of the things you've learned here at Radio Liberty.
Yeah, well, I've learned a lot from listening to you, and, you know, I'm going to keep on listening because, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm not completely clear on, you know, as far as financial matters and in the world, I really don't know that much, and it's really good to listen to you when you talk about the economy and the different, you know, like M3 and M2 and all that, and the fact that this administration they're not publishing results of, they're not publishing, I guess they're not publishing M3 or something. Or they're
that's
not,
right, they're not publishing M3 any longer. Yeah. Hey, hang on there for just a moment. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Ray, of course, you can get my little pamphlet on the history of money, and it gets into that. But basically, M1 is the currency actually printed in circulation, and maybe that has something to do with some of the checks that are written. Mm-hmm. That is that's the M1.
It's M1.
About 700, and I remember my figures are just general, about 700 billion dollars of actual money in circulation and the checks. And then, of course, your M2 gets into more sophisticated checks and savings and certain time deposits. And M3, of course, gets into
credit.
All the money and credit that's out there. And so the M3 is up to 13 or 14 billion dollars, something like that, trillion dollars, I should say. Remember, the basis for this 13 or 14 trillion dollars is that $700 billion of money in circulation. And it's increasing at the present time about well over 10% a year. And when you get into all the credit, why, of course, you're getting up into 14 or 15%, and that's the real inflation rate. And, you know, in 5 years, it destroys the value of our currency.
Yeah.
And, of course, they've been doing this for a number of years, and heaven help us. Hey, we're going to take one more call. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
let's go, Gary, calling from Thousand Oaks. Gary, we're just about out of time. Do you have a quick question?
Well, just comment, Dan.
Go ahead.
I have, over the past few months, really started to notice that people's attitudes are changing, that I think that there is more and more of an awareness of that there is something wrong, and I think that as the economy starts to implode on us, I think that we will have a good opportunity to really let people know what truly is going on, and that's really all I wanted to say.
Well, I think that, but I hope in addition to what's going on economically, I hope that you can explain to them what's going on spiritually as well, because, of course, these people on the other side are motivated by a different world vision. They really, certainly, they not only want to, you know, destroy our economy, but they want to bring about this global government, and they want to bring about a one world religion. This is an attack on Christianity and everything Christianity stands for. And they really want this world leader. This is what it's all about. And when you understand that, then you can begin to put it in its spiritual context.
Absolutely. You know, I started listening to you, I don't know how many years ago now, but I can remember you saying, at first you'll think I'm crazy, and then over time you'll wish I wasn't.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks so very much,
all right,
Gary.
Yeah.
Good to
God
hear from you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I hope you enjoy our Open Line Wednesday, and always feel free to call in. And, of course, that is really how it's true. You really start out thinking that what we're saying just couldn't be true. This guy's got to be crazy, and before long they're afraid that we're not. And this is the situation we are in today. We are moving away from freedom towards fascism and feudalism, and we've got to get people to understand. It's not only happening because there are people out there who want to enrich themselves, but many of these people have given themselves over to the dark side, and of course they are associated with secret or covert societies. Now, a lot of them don't know what's going on, admittedly, but there is an inner core that do, If you have not yet read our pamphlets, there are three pamphlets set called The Occult Hierarchy. If you have not yet heard our talk on the Forbidden Secret, I think this is really one of the most revealing talks we have, and traces what's going on back to the time of Nimrod. And then, of course, we have my talk, Brotherhood of Darkness. We also hope many of you out there will want to get the award-winning video, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, and Riddles in Stone, both put out by Chris Pinto and David Bay. And, of course, they go into the secret societies that are there, very professionally done, both award-winning DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning and Riddles in Stone. And then, of course, the producer of that, Chris Pinto, has done a DVD entitled The Atlantis Connection. And if you want to watch the DVD, you'll want to see the book that comes with it. It's called The Secret Destiny of America. Now, we do carry the book. We do not carry this in our regular collection because it's written by a man who is a Satanist. And we don't want people saying we're circulating satanic books, but you can get it. It's a research book, and it's The Secret Destiny of America by Manly P. Hall. And you certainly want to see that along after you watch the Riddles in Stone. Why you certainly want to read the book by Manly P. Hall and understand that the major thrust of these secret societies has always been to bring democracy to the world. Where did you hear that? Why are we fighting in Iraq today? Why are we going to go to Iran? Why are we going to war with the Islamic world? Why do we want to bring democracy to the world? And that is the ancient plan. It's been around for 3,000 years, according to Manly P. Hall. And I think he's telling you the truth. The Secret Destiny of America is the book, and you have to request it and tell them it's on the suppressed book list, but it is available to Radio Liberty along with Manly P. Hall's books, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry and The Secret Teachings of All Ages. Now, these are specifically for researchers. We want you to understand they're written from the point of view of people who worship the other God. And they really do worship an entirely different God. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And certainly we hope that you'll tell other people about our programs. Our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And so we'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. So the other thing is, of course, that we do hope that many of you out there will tell your friends and neighbors about our program, encourage them to listen. If you're not already a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, that you'll join, because that certainly helps us to finance what we do. As certainly every week we're on 60 different outlets, and we're reaching more people all the time. A lot of our programs are half an hour a week. A lot of them are every single evening. We enjoy being on every single evening, but believe me, it gets to be a very expensive outreach. And, of course, we do shortwave. We do internet radio. We have our satellite feed. You can hear it, of course, 24 hours a day at radioliberty.com. We'll be back in just a moment for the next hour of Radio Liberty right here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming here from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind this story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And well, for this next hour, we're going to be talking to Don Goldwater, and we're going to be talking about the immigration problems, and let's see if we can bring him up. Mr. Goldwater, are you there?
Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. And what was your relationship to Barry Goldwater?
Barry Goldwater is my uncle.
All right, fine. And so are you sort of the same conservative slant as he was?
Well, I'd like to think I am. Growing up with Barry and growing up with my father and respecting people like President Reagan and people in the past kind of cut my eye teeth on their philosophy.
All right, fine. Well, certainly you're working with a group now that's very concerned about what's happening from the immigration point of view, and I was told that you had some strong feelings about the imprisonment of two of the border guards who were arrested and convicted of course, irresponsible action because they'd shot at a drug smuggler who had come across the border, and they thought that he had a weapon. Certainly, we don't know what really happened, but obviously, when you begin to put your border guards in prison for shooting at somebody who's violating our laws, a hardened criminal who's been arrested repeatedly, since this time, for drug smuggling, and of course the U.S. attorney down there seems to be much more concerned about the rights of the drug smuggler than the rights of the border guards. Why, I think that we should all be concerned, because I think this is demoralizing the men who are down there protecting our border, which of course the president and the U.S. attorney obviously do not want to do. If we were really involved with a war on terrorism, we would have sealed the border immediately after 9/11. Obviously, they don't believe we're involved in a war on terrorism, but they figure that the American people are so stupid that they will never be able to connect the fact that they are intentionally keeping the border open so the terrorists and the drug smugglers can come in and out. And, of course, this should be very obvious to everybody listening to this program that the administration is not concerned about the war on terrorism. So why don't you pick up the story, Don, and tell us your thoughts?
Well, essentially what happened is we had a band that came across from Mexico with seven people in it and about 100 or several hundred pounds of marijuana inside the van. The van was detained by Border Patrol. The stories that we get is that there were shots during the stopping. The Border Patrol, the people piled out of the van. The Border Patrol were able to pick up six of them immediately. Because shots were fired and a gentleman was running away, shots were returned. The story that we get is that the guards at that point in time, the border security officers, did not know they'd hit their victim. The victim got in, crossed into Mexico, and with the aid of the Mexican government, and some legal counseling from here in the United States, the person who was shot, who had been detained and arrested earlier in the United States and been convicted of a felony and sent back to Mexico, was given amnesty to come back into the United States by the U.S. government to testify against the two agents. And there's a little note on the side of that is since the trial, he has come back into the United States several times and has been detained for bringing drugs back into the United States, but because he has amnesty, they have let him go. The officers were arrested initially for attempted murder. The actual charges, I believe, that were brought to bear and that what the officers were convicted of was illegally discharging a firearm. They got 11 and 12 years.
Hold on, I'll be right back. Well, Don, of course, illegally discharging a firearm is not that major an offense, is it?
No, it's not. And that's one of the things that Pelosi brought up to the president, was that, you know, you don't give somebody 11 and 12 years to begin with for illegally discharging a firearm. The punishment does not fit the crime, and that's why Congress has gotten involved in this case. I think it was Representative Poole, who sits on the Judiciary Committee, that pulled all funding from the judiciary to house Ramos and Compion. And so that's the investigation that's going on right now. We have a prosecutor that's out, Mr. Sutton, that has obviously abused his power. I don't know what his motives are, but he's gone over and above what's legitimate. So now we have... are we on the air?
Yes, we are on the air. Go right ahead.
I thought you'd taken a break. So now we have, you know, citizens that are up in arms about this. We've turned in between the Minutemen and GrassFire.org and ALIPAC and You Don't Speak For Me and United for a Sovereign America and hundreds of other groups across the United States. They've turned in petitions that total in the neighborhood of about 750,000 signatures to the White House asking that Ramos and Compion be released on their own recognizance pending the appeal of the trial. And we can't seem to get any movement out of it. Now, Ramos has just been transferred in the last couple of months back to Arizona. And the group American Freedom Riders and United for a Sovereign America are holding a fundraiser to raise funds to help the family move from Texas back into Arizona so they can be close to their husband and their family.
Well, apparently they've been very badly treated in prison, kept in solitary confinement, and put in a position where they could be badly beaten by the fellow prisoners, many of whom are there under... you would never put police officers in a general prison setting unless you wanted to have them had personal, you know, bodily harm. So obviously the people in the Bush administration wanted these people badly beaten and mistreated as a lesson to any other Border Patrol officer who was trying to do his job.
Well, you know, I can't say that they wanted him beaten. I won't go so far as to say that, but something is definitely amiss here.
And why, but did you ordinarily don't put police officers into the general prison population, do you?
No, I couldn't see any logic behind that whatsoever. The story that we got back after the signatures were...
Oh, hold that thought there for just a minute, Don. Okay. We'll be right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Don Goldwater. And Don is saying that certainly that the conservative movement has gotten almost 750,000 signatures presented to the government, asking that these men, Ramos and Campion, be released on their own recognizance, at least until their conviction has been appealed. And, of course, the government has so far has refused to do that. These police officers were put into the general prison population. You'd never do something like that because, of course, they would be subject to terrible bodily harm, and at least one of them was badly beaten, and then he was put into solitary confinement. You would not treat people humanely, you know, who were the police officers like this unless you were trying to demoralize the entire border guard.
And it's doing a good job of that. You know, they talk about that they want to increase the population of the border guards by approximately 16,000. And they think they can hire and train approximately 12,000 of them by 2012. And let's do the math for a second, because one of the byproducts of this trial and the way they've treated these guards, according to Border Patrol, is they lose approximately 1,500 agents a year. So they can only train 2,300 agents a year because that's all the facilities that they have at this time. So if you say 2,300 a year but take away 1,500 agents to get approximately another 16,000 agents up, you're actually looking at the year 2022-2023 before they come up to the 30,000 level, which the President and the Congress originally was talking about under the 2007 Comprehensive Immigration Plan.
Well, why is it that President Bush doesn't want to guard our border? He's done everything he could to avoid that. In fact, the National Guard troops that he promised he was going to put down there to guard the border, he's pulling off. He did not have them armed, even those that were down there. They really were quite ineffective in what they did, and now he's pulling them off. Why is it the president doesn't want to guide the border? You would think that he would certainly want to secure the border and protect us from the Al-Qaeda terrorists who want to come here and kill us.
Well, you know, I don't have a good reason for you why he would not protect the borders on the northern and southern part of the United States. You know, you could speculate that maybe a deal was made with Mexico early on because maybe Mexico was having some economic problems and was worried potentially about a possible civil war. I don't know. I have no proof to speak of it, and I have no logical facts to back any kind of an argument up with.
All right. But anyway, of course, what you're saying is that certainly an awful lot of border guards are leaving the employment because of the way they've treated Campion and Ramos are afraid the same thing could happen to them?
Well, this is not the first time something like this has happened. Approximately 6 years ago, there was two Border Patrol agents based out of Douglas, Arizona. Their job was to walk the border fence and look for tracks, encourage people coming across the border and then follow the tracks to determine who they were and how to round them up. And these two agents, who were on their own, happened to track this one group into a valley. One agent on one side of the valley, one agent on the other side of the valley. They found out that they were tracking drug smugglers. They were spotted. They were triangulated by five shooters, three of which were in Arizona, two of which were, by the triangulations, were shooting from Mexico. Both agents were shot. That story never hit the paper. The story about the National Guard having to retreat from incursions by Mexican nationals and or Mexican military would not have gotten into the paper had not the Arizona Daily Star flipped up and published it. And when that was published, we were able to get that on the Internet and get it out to the people of the United States. And that incursion that hit the paper was one of three incursions in that month. But you never heard about the other two because we could never get stories on it.
No, and of course, was the National Guard troops that we put on the border, were they armed?
They were armed, but they were not allowed to chamber around.
I see, okay.
As a matter of fact, the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps went down and we placed ourselves between the border and the National Guard to help protect the National Guard, because we had more rights down the border to protect ourselves than the National Guard did under their operating procedures.
Rules of engagement were something like they were in Vietnam, where we're not going to try to let our people win. Well, the National Guard then wasn't really sent down there to be effective. Do you think a lot of that was just sort of window dressing to convince the American people that we're doing something? We've got to do something to give the impression that we're really trying to control the border?
That's exactly what it was. And when we pressed the issue about these incursions, and we pressed the issue with the petitions on Ramos and Campion, what we were told is that they were not going to release Ramos and Campion because they didn't want to create an international incident. And what we explained to them was, is there is an international incident. It's on this side of the border.
Well, obviously, our administration is not interested in justice. Our administration has some sort of an agenda and some sort of agreement with Mexico. And I understand there have actually been other officers there who have been prosecuted because of pressure from Mexico. And these were officers, Border Patrol officers, who were just simply doing their job as they should.
That's exactly right, and it continues today. We've got another gentleman who is under investigation. We're still trying to get the clarity of the story out because the original news that we've got on it was very, very bizarre. The gentleman picked up a group of illegal aliens that had been identified and detained, and he transported them, as we understand it, he transported these group of people in a van down to one of the Border Patrol places, When they got him out of the van, they jumped this officer. The officer was in fear of his life, drew his weapon, and shot one of the gentlemen. Now, the first charges that came up were not for a attempted murder or for murder. It was on four counts, but there was only one person that was shot. The judge later backed off the four counts, saying that it didn't fit the situation. So now this Border Patrol agent is under investigation for attempted murder for essentially protecting his life. And as more stories come out about it and we get more information, we can be more clear and more accurate about those stories. But the point is that the Border Patrol is very demoralized. They're very worried that if they do their job, if they defend themselves in a situation of life or death, that the American government will not stand behind them and will do everything they can do to prosecute them, because that's what Mexico wants.
So what is the solution, Don? I mean, how are we going to get the government to act responsibly to protect our border guards? Because the government seems to be much more concerned about protecting the people who are violating our laws and the lawbreakers than they are in protecting our law enforcement.
Well, I think it goes in two realms. Number one, the people of the United States did a phenomenal job getting the 2007 Comprehensive Immigration Bill stopped. That normally would not happen. I haven't seen an uprising of public passion, public involvement like that since the Vietnam War. And no, I'm not comparing the two, but I am saying that it was the people of the United States who wrote, emailed, and faxed their congressmen telling them, no, we don't want this. When we first started the fight, when the citizens of the United States first started the fight against that bill, we only had 7 senators on our side. There was no way we were going to win that war, but because of the pressure that the American public put on their Congress, we ended up with over 50% of the senators, including Democrats, who voted not to let the bill go through, not to allow the debate to stop. Now, that doesn't mean that bill is dead. What that means is they cannot stop the debate on that bill. That bill could come back to the floor. The bill or portions of it, they're trying to bring back to the floor through the agriculture bill. And in particular, what they're trying to do in the agriculture bill, as we're starting to hear, is to allow unrestricted visas for agricultural work, which is the H-1A visa, and the H-1B visa, which is non-agricultural. So the American public is not done yet. We have to stay very, very vigilant on this. We have to stay well-informed, and we have to stay active.
Well, tell me,
the American public is active, we have good government.
Now, tell me, Don, what do you think of the guest workers program? Do you think that that's a legitimate program where people would be allowed to come in during the harvest season and then, of course, required to leave at the end of it?
I've talked to a lot of agriculture about that. If the borders were secured, if the employers had sanctions against them so they could not hire illegal aliens, and the penalties were stiff enough to the point where if they did, it would mean their livelihood. If we can eliminate sanctuary city policies, if we can eliminate government subsidies and federal programs that allow illegal aliens to partake in them, then we can start to take a look at areas like the agriculture that has a very, very tough labor force, because they're in there for a few months and they're moving all about, and determine whether or not at that point in time, if A, we need a labor force from outside to come in and do the work, B, if automation can't be put into place to help the farmer out. I mean, you go back to the Civil War, they used to pick cotton by hand. They used to pick, a wheat by hand. They now have automation to where tomatoes are picked by, some forms of tomatoes are picked by machines. These are things that we have to investigate. The last thing we want to do is what we're doing now, and that is creating, essentially, a slave labor force that has no rights, that has no recourse, and has no identity when they're in the United States. It's not just people coming in here looking for a job that's dangerous. The point of the fact is a lot of these people are from third world countries with no medical benefits, no medical history. They're bringing diseases into the United States.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead. We're done.
Yeah. These people are bringing in diseases into the United States that we haven't seen in a long time. We now have new strains of tuberculosis being brought into the United States, which are drug resistant. Hepatitis A, B, and C are climbing. According to the New York Times, I think this story was about 2 months ago, we have leprosy being reintroduced into the United States. And our children and our schools are at risk because a lot of the times that's where those diseases are being introduced is from kids who are coming across the border that there's no medical record on these people. They haven't been checked out. They haven't been immunized. They haven't come through the front door and made sure that they're not carrying any serious diseases. We also have, you know, the threat of terrorism. There's a lot of newspaper articles and stories on the internet and even in the regular news starting to come out where members of Al-Qaeda groups or the radical Muslim groups are starting to tie together with the Mexican drug cartels because they can blend together the Mexican drug cartels, or I shouldn't say just the Mexican drug cartels, period, know how to get into the United States, and all they want is money. And so a person from Pakistan or Afghanistan or India or what other country can blend in with olive colored skin just about as well as I could probably blend in with a person from Sweden. So these are the concerns we have out there. The United States has always been a reactive country. If you look at World War One, you look at World War Two, we did not get into those wars until somebody attacked us. Today, with the advent of cross-ocean airlines, with the advent of dirty bombs, with the technology being what it is, when we get here in the hit here in the United States, it's going to be worse, I believe, than the Trade Center or the bombing of Pearl Harbor than we've ever seen. And we saw what happened to our economy when the Trade Centers got hit and the Pentagon got hit. The economy went into the tank. And frankly, with the housing market the way it is, with the financial markets tying up, not only in the United States but across the world, this type of an attack here in the United States could be just crippling worldwide, if not just in the United States.
And I really share your concern. In fact, one of my secretary works very closely with us. I developed this terrible cough, and you know, it was almost like a whooping cough. In fact, we eventually, of course, said, you know, maybe have whooping coughs. She went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, we haven't had any whooping cough around here in a long time. And, well, eventually, of course, the children at the school that her daughter went, a lot of them got the whooping cough. And then, of course, the doctor suddenly realized, this is a whooping cough. We haven't had whooping cough in America. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen the case. And I think it's coming across the border from Mexico. And I think that actually there have been a resurgence of whooping cough in America because of our immigration policies allowing intentionally and purposely allowing people to come into this country. So I think that we are all going to pay a price, and certainly many of these people had been vaccinated before. But when you let other people come in with this active disease, all the vaccinations we've given are not going to protect us. So I agree with your concern. And the recurrence of leprosy and these other terrible diseases, Chagas disease and similar diseases, things that we have not seen for many years are coming here, and they will plague us as long as we refuse to take a stand. We'll be right back. Well, certainly, Don, I agree with you that we have a very real problem. Certainly the expense of the illegal immigrants here in the state of California is estimated about $10-12 billion. And of course our state budget's only about $120 billion, almost 10% of our our state budget is just to take care of people who are in our state illegally.
That's correct, and I appreciate that. In Arizona, it's costing us $3 billion a year to educate, medicate, and incarcerate illegal aliens. If I look at the FBI statistics, by the way, that $3 billion, if you want to break that down to the average household paying taxes, pays about $2,100 annually in taxes to educate, medicate, and incarcerate illegal aliens. 30% of our education budget is going to teach people who cannot read or write English how to read and write English. And, you know, okay, some people may look at that and say, well, they should be doing it. But what's unfortunate that nobody thinks about is in Arizona, the population that has the worst record at the fourth grade level when it comes to reading and writing is the black population, and we're doing nothing for them. We're spending all our money on other people teaching them how to read and write because they speak a foreign language. It's not helping our kids. It's not helping our community. Now, we did have, you know, we've got an initiative here in Arizona. It's called Legal Arizona Workers. And essentially what this initiative does is it requires all businesses to use the basic pilot program to determine if all new hires are legally here in the United States, either through a visa program or through a Social Security number. If an employer does not use that program and is later prosecuted for knowingly hiring an illegal alien, then they lose their ability to do business in the state of Arizona forever. If an employer uses the basic pilot program and they still find a person that they've hired is there illegally, they now have a defense because they have used an independent third party sanctioned by the federal government to determine the legal status of the documents that the employee is presenting. The employer is off the hook at that point in time. All they're required to do is turn that person over to the immigration.
Well, I think that, you know, Arizona is certainly doing the right sort of thing. I think that states, you know, I know in Georgia we have our friend there, Senator Nancy Schaefer. They've got some excellent legislation there. I think a lot of the states are trying to do what's logical, and the Bush administration is doing everything they can to prevent the states from protecting themselves from this burden of illegal immigration. And I think that we should ask, what is the real motivation of our federal leaders? Who is their real allegiance to it? Certainly not to the Constitution or the American people.
Well, there's a lot of talk about the North American Union. There's a lot of talk about the SPP, the highway, going between Mexico and Canada. The North American Union would be modeled after the European Union. And NAFTA was the beginning of this. And so now you have that cropping up, and it kind of plays in hand. It plays in hand that if you're trying to open the borders, then you're doing it for a bigger reason, and the only bigger reason that we can see at this point in time is they want to start a North American Union, a free trade zone, if you will. We have attended a meeting in Douglas, Arizona, about 8 months ago now, where the governor of Sonora, Mexico, the U.S. ambassador to Mexico, and several businessmen on both sides of the border met, and the plan is to build a truck inspection station on the Mexican side of the border. All the technology and security would be supplied by the United States. The Mexican government would run the inspection station, inspecting the trucks, and then once they're inspected, they have free rein to come into the United States. Now, I talked with the architect, who is of the same company that did the Los Alamos nuclear laboratory, and he was bragging about the security system that they were able to put into Los Alamos. And I asked him, I said, you understand that you're going to have to work with three groups here? And he kind of looked at me funny. I said, well, you're going to have to work with the Mexican government. And he said, yeah. I said, you got to work with the United States government. Yeah. I said, you also have to work with the drug cartels. And he kind of looked at me funny. I said, well, think about it. What you're going to be telling them is we're going to restrict a certain portion of your drug trade coming into the United States, but don't worry about it because the prices of drugs will go up in the United States. You'll make more money. And he looked at me with a shocked look on his face and said, well, I guess we have to secure the employees, too.
We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, Don Coldwater, talking about the plight of our border guards, talking about the crisis in immigration. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Don Goldwater. And if you're out there across America, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to give us a call and have a question for Don. But I think that the issues he raises are very legitimate. Well, you know, it looks to me, and I really believe that the real reason we are not trying to secure the border is because the president and the people who control the president really, of course, do want to do away with our national sovereignty and really merge Mexico and Canada and the United States into this North American Union. Would you agree or disagree with that concept?
I think that's a concept that's in the making. And I think that there have been several bills blocked in Congress lately to fund it. Tom Tancredo and Duncan Hunter and Poole and, you know, some of our congressmen here in Arizona, Representative Shattuck, have been very, very busy looking hard at these issues to make sure that, you know, what they're doing is right for the American public. You know, before we get any further, I'd like to give the website out on our initiative because I'd like people to go take a look at it if I could.
Yeah, well, I do, but I'd want to wait about a minute and a half until we have all of our stations on board.
Okay.
Some of our stations are not hearing this, certain stations are, but in about a minute and a half, we will always give you, whenever you're a guest on our program, Don, we'll always give you that chance at exactly 33 minutes after the hour. So, but anyway, of course, we want everybody to know about the... you're with the Minutemen, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I'm the Phoenix chapter chairman of the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps. It's the Phoenix metropolitan area, and everywhere north in the state is my jurisdiction. And while I do that and the initiative, I'm also down on the border with the Minutemen, helping to identify people coming across the border to immigrations.
Are you getting a lot of help from the people there in Arizona? I mean, are they solidly behind what you're trying to do?
Well, yeah, I think I'd have to say they are solidly behind. We've had three initiatives that were on the 2006 ballot. There was no money spent to advertise for the initiatives. The weakest initiative won by over 75%.
And so what you're saying is the people of the state of Arizona really want to control illegal immigration, even though the George Bush and the people he represents don't want to do that. We're going to be back in just a moment with Don. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and for those of you who don't know why Don Goldwater is with the Minutemen, he represents the Minutemen chapter in the Phoenix area. Now, Don, would you like to get your website out there and information so people would know how to get in touch with you and how to help you?
Yeah, the two initiatives that we're running are Legal Arizona Workers, which we talked about, which is to require the employees or the employers to use the basic pilot program to determine whether or not the people that they're hiring are here legally, either through Visa or through Social Security. And the other one we're running is Support Our Law Enforcement, which goes after stolen identity and also goes after the sanctuary city policies. And if you'd like to learn more about it, please go to our website at azgrassroots.com, or you can give us a call at 602-748-4551, and we'll be more than happy to give more information. Now, I understand that a lot of people out there are not living in Arizona, but that doesn't mean you can't help support us with your contributions, and we gladly take your nickels, dimes, pennies, and dollars.
All right, fine. Well, one more time, why don't you get that address out there?
azgrassroots.com, A-Z like Arizona, azgrassroots.com, and the number is 602-748-4551. 51.
And of course, Don was saying that, you know, they had ran three initiatives on the state. The weakest one, the worst one, got what, over 75% of the
over 75% of the vote. And I'll tell you what, over 50% of the Hispanic population in the state of Arizona voted for those initiatives.
And I think the Hispanic population realizes that they're going to lose their advantage, of course, if they're going to be just inundated with more and more people, because the people coming from south of the border will work for less and simply undercut the wages of the people here in the United States. This is a direct attack, not only the sovereignty of our nation, but of the financial integrity of our nation, as being coordinated by the people within the key positions in Washington, D.C., and, of course, in New York, who seem to have a different world vision. They are not concerned about these outmoded ideas of sovereignty and integrity and honor. They seem to serve a different master. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, and we have Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike, do you have a question or comment?
A little of both. I want to ask about the ways that the American public is being disinformed about the whole issue. And one reason I wanted to ask was on July 30th in our newspaper, an Associated Press article titled "Migrant Arrests at the Border Decline," and subtitled "Authorities Can't Agree Whether Causes Deterrence or Economic Slip," meaning that somehow all of a sudden we were doing a great job or of defending the border, or things had gotten so bad economically in the United States that Mexicans didn't want to come here anymore.
What you want to know is which do you think it is? Which do you think it is, Don?
Well, number one, I don't believe that's true, and I'll tell you why. It's because when we're down on the border, and we're patrolling. Now, understand that while we're down there, we only have about a 3 to 5 mile piece of a 300 mile border that we're patrolling. Our numbers are up. Now, I do have to give credit to the Border Patrol. They are bringing new people on. They are bringing more people on. But the National Guard's being pulled off. The fence is not there. They're finding better ways to bring these people across. And you know what I'd like? I really wish this would happen. I wish that the people that hire illegal aliens would come down to the border, especially during the summertime. I want them to come down to the border, sit watch with us, and see what these people look like by the time they get to us. Because 3 days, where they get dropped off by the coyotes, it's a 3-day walk to where we are. And by the time they get to us, they're near death. The women have been raped. The men... you wouldn't believe what they're drinking, because it doesn't look anything like water, if they are drinking anything. When they come to us, the first thing we're asking is, do you need water? Do you need medical attention? At that point in time, they're grateful to see us because they're darn near dead. After they get done doing that stint with us, I'd like them to go with the Immigration and Customs people to these houses where they're holding these people against their will. Mostly, they're tied up. They're gagged, they're taped up, the men are beaten, the women are raped, God knows what they're doing to the children, and what's happening is that the coyotes are holding them in these houses and going back to their families here in the United States and Mexico and demanding more money before they release them. This is the closest thing to 21st century slavery that we see in the United States. When the businesses get them, and they hire them off the street or wherever they're hiring them from, these people are in pristine condition. But business needs to see what they're putting people through by promising them jobs if they'll come across the desert illegally.
Okay, anything else? Go ahead, Mike.
There was one other item that was delivered to us by the Rush Limbaugh program. I think it was Walter Williams was on Friday, I think a week ago. He said that... the reason Ramos and Campiana were locked up the way they were was to prove to the Mexicans that we were not going to tolerate mistreatment of Mexicans by our border guards.
Well, you know, and that's very much correct, because the story we got back, like I said before in the broadcast, is the reason that we weren't going to push the issue or give these people due process was because the American government, the government of the United States, did not want to create an international incident with Mexico. And we're trying to explain to these people that they've already created an international incident here in the United States with American people. Mexican laws, South American laws, the only place that those laws are viable and should be obeyed is in those countries, because that's their sovereign country. When you go to another country, you live and learn by their rules. When you come into the United States, you obey our laws. And the minute you cross into this country illegally, the first time, that's a misdemeanor. If you're caught and returned, the second time you come across, that's a felony. If you go to a workplace to get a job and you present a social security number or false visa, that's stolen identity. That's another felony. So, yeah.
But the reason for Ramos Vizcaíno being locked up this way would be to prove something to the Mexican government?
That's exactly what we're hearing, too. You know, they don't want to create an international incident. They want to prove a point that, you know, we're going to be tough on our people so that their people will be safe coming across the desert.
And, yet, of course, the Mexican government is helping the drug smugglers. I mean, there's no way they could be coming across without the help of the drug smuggler, the help of the Mexican government. The Mexican government is helping people to break our laws, and we have to treat them with respect. Come on now. The Mexican government is illegitimate. They stole the election from the people who actually won the last election. They've had a one-party system down there for almost 70 years, kept in power by our establishment. I think maybe we ought to start taking a second look at what's going on and questioning the true goals of our establishment. Anything else, Mike?
Good enough for now. Thank God bless.
Let's go to Will, who's calling from Missouri with a question and a comment. Will, did you have a question or comment?
Well, yes. The first question is, of course, but I'll get right back to that. I would ask Don whether or not, and this is the question, whether or not he has ever read or heard of the Compendium of Recommendations on International Migration and Development published by the United Nations.
No, I'll be honest with you, I have not read it.
Well, that's a great place to start, to understand just exactly what you're dealing with on the border, and to understand that when we think that this is coming from Mexico, we're looking in the wrong place. We need to go back up to the United Nations in New York and go through the process of understanding just what international development, migration and development actually is, and to understand that this is coming from all over the world into various destination countries. Now, from the countries of origin, they're visualizing, they're looking at the illegal migration, this migration and development process. They're looking at the remittances coming back from those workers as part of an economic development program.
Well, you're absolutely right on that. And let me just state this real quick before you get in there, because I think I know where you're going. The color of illegal aliens is green. This is not an attack on Mexico or any other country, because there is no country in the world today that is not represented by illegal aliens here in the United States. When you talk about the benefits coming back from Mexico or coming back to the United States to Mexico, for example, more money flows into Mexico from illegal aliens sending money home than they get off the export of oil. So this is a huge amount of money. And what we talked about before with Mexico's economy, they do not have an economy that can support these people who are trying to come across. They do not have an economy that can take the poor people, the lower middle class, and provide them with jobs. And they are draining these people out. They are draining the criminals out to bring them into the United States because we have jobs available for them. And that's what this whole thing's about. It's all about money. Now, is business here in the United States taking advantage of it? You betcha. If I'm a restaurant owner and I can pay somebody $3 an hour under the table, whereas I'd have to pay somebody legitimately $7 an hour, plus pay FICA, Social Security, unemployment tax, and probably health benefits, then they'll take $3 an hour. What's happening on that is we are destroying the middle class of the United States. If you take a look at the economy of the United States, we have done better economically in the last 10 years than we ever have. But the middle class, the pay raise on the middle class, is substantially been reduced and is going backwards due to higher taxes, higher medical costs, and the middle class is losing a lot of buying power, and it's the middle class of the United States that makes up the economic engine of the United States.
And all of those are very true, but those are the symptoms of the disease. The disease starts with this drive by the United Nations. Now, I could give out, Dr. Stan, if you would, the sales number where anyone in the audience can go immediately to the United Nations and either download or obtain a copy of this book.
All right, go ahead. What is it?
Very well. It's here quite quickly. Now, listen carefully, audience. It's sales number. This is from UNP, that's United Nations Publications, unp.un.org. So that's unp.un.org. And when you get there, you can either call or you can work it off the Internet. And what you want to get is a book. It's E.06.XIII.7. So it's E.06.VIII.7. Now, when you read that book, you will understand the picture that we're actually looking at, because this is a global initiative that has been signed on to not only by Vicente Fox, or now I know he's replaced, and Paul Martin, I know he's replaced, and George Bush, who's going to be replaced, but these are the world leaders who've bought into this program, and workers are being transferred in a migration program all over the world. Now, you asked about, well, when they come here, they don't obey the laws. According to the United Nations directives, that they do not have to.
And I think, of course, this is all the idea. We used to call them illegal immigrants, and then we called them immigrants, and now we call them just migrants. And, of course, it is, you're absolutely right, William, it is a planned program to do away with the sovereignty of our nation and emerge us into the New World Order and the New World Religion. Anything else before we let you go?
No, and thank you for letting me get on, Dr. Stan.
God bless.
Thank you
good.
Very much.
Thank you for that information. That's great information. What gets me mad is when we start calling them migrants, because if an illegal alien is a migrant, then a drug smuggler is an unlicensed pharmacist.
Well, you're absolutely right. But, you know, it's amazing the power of words and how they create these new words and give them meaning. And, you know, of course, you know, when I use the word, I'm just trying to point out to our listeners how our reality is being recreated. Our ideas are being molded by men we've never heard of.
You're absolutely right. The new president of Mexico, and I've got Fox on the brain right now, so I'm having a senior moment. I don't remember his name, but we had an incident down here on the border in Tijuana where there were a lot of gangland-style killings, and the president went down to the borders and took the guns out of the hands of the police down on the border so that they could run forensics tests and ballistic tests on the rifles to see who in the police department is aiding and abetting these criminals. And the president of Mexico has said, you know, we can't afford to pay our military, nor can we afford to pay our police department anywhere close to what the drug cartels are willing to pay them. And so a lot of times what ends up happening is these people are working for the drug cartel to help them get their product across the border. In Arizona, I think also probably in the Southwest, the methamphetamine drug trade is run by the Mexican drug cartel. It's not even run by the old gangs in the United States. If you talk to law enforcement and talk to them about the MS-13 gang and the Wetbacks and some other gangs that are out there and compare them to the old, you know, Hells Angels and the Crips and the Bloods, the police departments kind of do a tongue-in-cheek and say, oh, yeah, the good old days. Because these new gangs, they don't care who they're shooting, police, anybody. Matter of fact, it's a point of ritual to go after police, go after the Border Patrol. There are many agents out there that have a price on their head.
And I think we live in a world gone mad, and unfortunately, those of us who are still sane are looked down upon by the elite because, of course, we stand in the way of their idea of bringing true migration to the whole world.
You know, we will get this thing solved, and what I talk to people about is this. You take somebody like Bill Gates of Microsoft, who supports, gives money to La Raza and Mecha and a lot of these other people that are supporting a more open border. Bill Gates has got a lot of money. There's no question about that. But how many people are on his board of directors? Let's say there's 50 people on his board of directors, maybe 50 people out of Microsoft, maybe 500 people out of Microsoft that they can guarantee to help put pressure to vote on this issue. But the American public, which is in the millions and millions, are the people who've got to stay active. They've got to get to the polls, especially in 2008. You've got to support the congressmen and the senators who are out there working to secure our borders. You've got an elected president out there who is going to work to secure our borders. And you've got to remove the other people who are soft on the border issue, who are soft on the taxation issue, who want to give this country away. You've got to get them out of power. And the only way you can do that is through your vote.
Well, and then, of course, the other thing is we need an honest vote. And God bless Deborah Bowen here in California, who wants to certify those voting machines. Well, Don, we've got just 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. And I'll tell you what, as you feel a little bit more at ease in our program, you really got wound up there, and that's, of course, what makes good talk radio.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Just remember that when the 2000 Comprehensive Immigration Bill was on the blocks and they were trying to pass it, the phone calls were running 100-1 against the Comprehensive Bill. The people of America stood firm. They told the Congress of the United States and the President of the United States, we do not want this bill. And guess what? We won. We won this round. If we sit down now, we will lose it all. I ask the people of the United States to rally with their votes, to continue with their phone calling, to stay informed. This is the biggest issue. It affects every aspect of life. It affects your neighborhood, where all the gunfire is coming from, your hospitals that are being overrun, your education systems where you don't have enough schools or textbooks or chairs teach the children. It's affecting your taxes. It's affecting your livelihood. This is your country, and if you don't stand up for the country, you will lose it.
Amen. Of course, the thing that we have to understand for our listeners out there, we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis, and of course people are going to say, oh, we can't do anything, you know, we've got to give these people liberty, we've got to respect their rights, you know, they have rights, they came in illegally, they have rights. And remember, when liberty leads to a loss of order, then the demand for order will lead to a loss of liberty. When liberty leads to a loss of order, then the demand for order will lead to a loss of liberty. The legislation is already on the books to allow the use of the U.S. military, yes, and the professional mercenaries that we're using over there in the Middle East, to be utilized here in the United States against the American people. We have got to have the American people educated on our side. The majority of the American people love America. They enjoy, love freedom, but freedom is never free. And we do hope that you'll want to help Don Goldwater. Don, get your website out one more time.
azgrassroots.com, and the number is 602. Hang on a second. I flipped over to another site. Our number is 602-748-4551, 602-748-4551.
I would like to call you off the air and get you onto some of our other programs. You are an excellent spokesman for a cause that we both embrace because we both love America.
Thank you, and let me just end by saying this. To all the veterans out there of four wars, God bless you. Thank you for your service. It's nice to be free.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, bye. Fine. Well, that was Don Goldwater, and it comes from a proud heritage of conservatives, and we're pleased to have him as a guest here. And we do have some excellent material on immigration. I have a book, Fighting Immigration Anarchy. We have a book called The Minutemen, written by Dr. Corsi, and we recommend it. We have two four-tape sets on immigration. We have the DVD entitled the conquest of Aztlan. You really need to see it. You'll see the representatives of La Raza and the Ford Foundation and all of the traitors, Metcha and the others. Remember that it's the Ford Foundation that's funding so much of what's going on today. And, of course, they are intimately involved in the effort to destroy America, going all the way back to Henry Ford, who himself was deeply involved in the occult and theosophy. And the Ford Foundation has funded communism, and the Ford Foundation is now funding the illegal immigration movement and, of course, everything to destroy America. When you begin to understand the spiritual forces that energize all of this, it begins to make so much more sense, and so much of that is covered in my book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence. We have a book on the Great Tax Exempt Foundations. It was written 49 years ago, by Rennie Worms of the Council for the only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate the Ford Foundation. Now, it doesn't deal with immigration. It deals with what the great foundations were doing during the first half of the last century. The Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, which is involved in the occult and pornography and sexual promiscuity and efforts to destroy the sexual morality of this country by funding the Kinsey research. And then, of course, Andrew Carnegie's foundation. All of these, of course, are deeply involved in the occult. And until you understand the spiritual forces working, you can't understand what's going on. My book, the book Foundations, The Power and Influence, we've kept it in print for 50 years. I should say now for probably 15 years. And, of course, we have the only supply available in the entire country. Foundations, Their Power and Influence. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, our talk on DVD, and the syllabus goes with it, The Forbidden Secret. And, of course, there you learned about the angel that rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm. The president referred to him twice in his first inaugural address. Who is the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm? And what does this have to do with immigration? And why it has everything to do? Because, of course, there's an ancient plan to bring about a one-world government and a new world religion and a new world leader. And that ancient plan is 5,000 years old. You need to get my talk, The Forbidden Secret. You need to get the syllabus. You need to read A Brotherhood of Darkness. And you need, of course, to read Foundations, Their Power and Influence. And then, of course, our 2 4-tape sets on immigration. Dr. Corsi's book on the Minutemen. Certainly the book on fighting immigration invasion. The DVD, The Conquest of Aztlan. You need to begin to understand what's going on today and put it into its spiritual context. So we do hope that many of you, of course, will call us at 1-800-544-8927 for additional information. We do hope that many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. And if you have any question why we are going to war in the Middle East and with the Muslim world, you want to read our February 2007 newsletter. That's the February 2007 newsletter. And, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.